Good morning, church. If you've looked at your news sheet, you'll see that the proper theological term for this sermon is the three-legged chicken. But it's to do with gifts. Now, if we had started on Romans 12, verse 1, it would have said, light's not very good here. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. So, what exactly is a spiritual gift? Interesting question. There is a difference between gifts and natural talents. How do you explain that? Well, in Pakistan, we had some neighbours who lived above us, and both he and she were really great musicians. So I'm told. My musical ability is, small. She was one of those singers, you know, really high soprano that wavered. Oh, I couldn't stand it. Never mind. They were technically perfect. And they would sing beautifully. And I would sit there and suffer. We had another fellow there who would sit down with his guitar. He wasn't technically perfect. But when he played, people listened and he moved their hearts to Christ. His talent was a spiritual gift. Theirs, the other two, had a natural talent. And there's actually quite a big difference. But when they both coincide, it can be really good. Now, it's interesting when you look in the Bible, we had two of the lists of spiritual gifts, one from Romans, one from Corinthians. There is no definitive list of gifts in the Bible. You can find them all over the place. So it's interesting. But what are they for? Why do we get spiritual gifts? And it's very plain and simple, to build the body of Christ. So if the body is not being built up, guess what's happening? People are not exercising their spiritual gifts. But the two main lists, the one in Romans. So, no, I won't ask you to put your hand up for each one as I read them. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, giving, leadership, and mercy are the ones there. Exhortation is one of my favourite gifts. And put in deep theological terms, it means I'm a stirrer. The one from Corinthians. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. Then if you go to Peter, 1 Peter, verse 4:11, you've got speaking, sermon, service. But if you go back into the Old Testament, you can find them as well. If you go into Exodus 31 and read 1 to 5, the spiritual gift was for doing craft work, because the people who were making the sanctuary were given that spiritual gift to make this perfect sanctuary for the Lord. And then when you go into Samuel, see, we've had musicians up. We haven't mentioned music, have we, for the spiritual gift? But it's there in 1 Samuel 16 to 23. Chapter 16, verse 23. Because when King Saul, when he had an evil spirit come on him, David would come with his lyre, play it, and drive the spirit out. Now, if that's not a spiritual gift, I'm not sure what is. Now, has anybody heard of an author called Peter Wagner? He wrote a very good book on spiritual gifts. And in it, he lists 23 varieties of gifts. And in his list, he didn't include craft, work, or music. So there are more than 25. And they come in groups. But there is one particular gift he mentions that, you know, you're supposed to earnestly desire the gift, aren't you? How about the gift of martyrdom? It's a one-off. I thought of mentioning a couple of people to see if they had it, but I thought about it not. But there are a huge number of gifts. They don't come by themselves, they come in groups. Now, there is one thing that evangelists are bad at. I'm not looking at Stu. I know he's an evangelist. But think about evangelism. We're all supposed to be evangelists, aren't we? Aren't we? We're all supposed to talk about Jesus to others. We're all supposed to live our lives to promote Christ. No? We are. You see, if you look at a spiritual gift, I like to look at it in terms of light bulbs. Now, that sounds strange, but never mind. For instance, the gift of administration. My administration happens to be about a 10-watt light bulb, which is why I always have an administrator who is at least a 1,000-watt administrator. I can do it, but I don't like it. So most of us tend to be evangelists around the 100-watt light bulb strength. You get to somebody like Stu, the wattage goes up. But I remember, it wasn't Stu this time, I was talking to one who had very good evangelism skills, and he used it all the time. But he did what is called gift projection. He could sit down with somebody and talk, the subject of Christ would come up so naturally and he would lead them to Christ. And he looked at me and said, well, if I can do it, you can. Sometimes yes, but mostly no. You can't project your gift onto somebody else and expect them to do it. You know, the evangelist who gets in the elevator at the bottom floor and by the 10th floor walks out and everybody's converted. That's not me. Okay. But, as with the parable, it said, if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, that parable, talking about the gifts, have you ever thought of what that cash was worth in terms of New Zealand dollars today? The first fellow got the equivalent of $9.3 million to work with. The second one, $3.7 million. And the third one, $1.85 million. If somebody came up to you and gave you $2 million, what would you do with it? Have you got the skills to use it? It's an interesting question. So, of course, you've got the first fellow who runs out and doubles the money, the second one who runs out and doubles the money, and the third one who follows Jewish law exactly. He takes the money, secretly buries it, and because he's done it that way, by Jewish law of the day, he is no longer responsible. If somebody finds it and steals it, it's not his fault. You can see what he's doing? It's called risk adverse behaviour. And of course, we don't have people like that in the Christian church. Of course we don't. How many here believe in Jesus? Put your hand up. I'm not sure you're right. The demons believe in Jesus. How many of you actually believe Jesus? That's different, isn't it? You know, As I said, I'm not a brilliant musician. Now, that's putting it very carefully. I can remember standing there a while back, you know, and one of the songs was saying, "We raise our hands in praise," and I had my hands in my pockets. And I saw so many other people just the same. We actually don't do what we sing, and we don't do what the Bible says. Very often not. So you all have spiritual gifts. You don't need to put your hand up with this one. How many of you actually operate in your spiritual gift to build up the church of Christ? Great. We had one person put a hand up anyway. That's good. Now, that's a fairly hefty sort of question to ask on a Sunday morning, isn't it? So I thought maybe I should tell you a story then. It is just a story, don't worry. A gentleman in Christchurch who had just sold his business and retired. His wife and two daughters were away on a world trip. He had done very well. And because his wife was away, he decided to indulge in one of his dreams. He went out and bought himself and paid cash for a red Ferrari 458 Italia car. That had always been his dream. Red, because red goes faster. Now, for those who are technically minded, it's a 7-speed automatic. You can use the gears and hold it back to keep the revs up. But it goes from 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in 3 seconds. It also has a top speed of 340 kilometres per hour. Excuse me. It's got a built-in radar fire detector, which is essential. So he came home with his car. First thing he did was polish it. Didn't need it, but he polished it anyway. And then he decided that since the next day, it was the middle of summer, it was going to be fine, he would go and try this car out. So he headed out, turned off towards Hanmer, where there's a nice long straight, drove very quietly along the straight, made sure there were no police cars around, got to the end of this huge straight, turned round, put on his leather cap, had to have a leather cap, took a deep breath, and planted his foot. 3 seconds later, it was nudging 100 kilometres an hour. He was loving it. Kept his foot down. 150, 180, 200, got up to 250 kilometres an hour, And he decided to slow down a bit. So he slowed down to about 180. Was sitting there just reveling in the sound and the feel of the car. Then he happened to notice something in the rearview mirror. And it was coming up behind him. He was still doing 180. Looked again, no, didn't have lights on it. And it kept coming up and coming up. And suddenly he realized what it was. It was a chicken. It got closer. And it was slightly different. It had three legs. And you know how you see in the cartoons, the legs would go flat out. And this chicken was catching him up and he was doing 180. He didn't know what to do. He just sat there. Chicken came up behind. Wing came up. Passed him. Moved back in and then disappeared into the distance. And he just sat there with his, what is going on? So he put his foot down and followed. Then he noticed the chicken take a side road, so he slowed down, followed the chicken round to the side road, and he just following the dust now because they weren't sealed. And he eventually pulled up outside this farm. And there was a big sign which said, Three-Legged Chicken Farm. The most succulent, fantastic chicken meat you can buy. He sat there. Then he noticed the farmer, so he got out of the car, went to the farmer and said, this your farm? Yeah. You're growing three-legged chickens? Yes. It says they're the most fantastic things to eat that you can get. Farmer said, yes. Can I buy one? No, I'm sorry, I haven't caught one yet. That's a bit like Christians. We know that the gifts are really fantastic. It says in James, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You know, as Christians we say, God gives these fantastic gifts. But we're not using them. Why not? I think we're very much like the man in the parable who's averse to anything that's different or strange. I can remember being in Cromwell, been there 8 years, loving it, the church was growing, everything was fine. And then somebody asked, would you like to move away, go to another parish? My immediate reaction was, no, I'm very comfortable right here. And then, strangely, about every 5 or 6 days over the next 3 weeks or so, somebody different would say, have you ever thought of going to that one? Till I got the idea. I'm a bit slow, but never mind. Because I was comfortable. I was in my little rut. Do you know what a rut is, by the way? It's a long grave. We are very much risk-adverse people as Christians. We're not ready to try something. We might get it wrong. And if you're not getting it wrong, you're actually not pushing the limits far enough, are you? Are you ready to try out a three-legged chicken? But the thing is, we don't have to chase it. It's already there. We know that everything that God gives is fantastic and good. But we're not doing it. How many here have the gift of hospitality? Not many. I reckon there should be at least 50 to 60%. But you don't need to put your hand up. We had people living next to us in Pakistan who, you know, if they were having a cup of coffee and you happened to drop by, what would you do? Give them a cup. They never thought about it. If they came down and you offered them a cuppa, they would have one. But I was never offered a cup of coffee any time I went in. And my opinion of them was not that brilliant about that. Until at the place we were at, we investigated the spiritual gifts. And this particular lady, after we went through, it was as if a light bulb lit above her head. And she said, I don't have the gift of hospitality. We could have told her that. She was the sort of person who, if they had a visitors coming, she would worry the week before for the whole time about how many potatoes she had to put in the pot. So knowing what your gifts are not is almost as important as knowing what they are. That is not to say that you never exercise that particular thing. Because sometimes God gives you a gift for an instant. So, what are your gifts? And what are not your gifts? That's an important thing to know. Not only for the church, but for yourself as well. It's no use having the gifts out there like a three-legged chicken and never having a taste. It's something that we need to do. And it's very simple if you want to check them. Just go onto the internet and go to a gift inventory. But the thing is, you might find it's not quite what you think. Then comes the interesting bit. Once you've found out what your gifts probably are, then you need to try them out. So how many here maybe think they have a gift of preaching? Come on, Steve, put your hand up. According to Wagner, in a church this size, there should be about 10. So I would encourage you to go chasing your chicken. Find out what your gifts are. And then I'm going to pass the buck, go and see Stu and see if he can try them out. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're so good to us and bless us in so many ways. Thank you for these spiritual gifts that you've given each of us. Help us to find out exactly what they are. And then, Lord, give us the courage to have a go and see if it's right. Not to be risk-adverse people just sitting in the pew, but active followers of you, believing you exactly. In your name we pray. Amen.